get this out, but for now I'm going to read something to you. You know, it's February 14th. I'm going to read something that I didn't write. I'm not going to tell you who wrote it. Doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But I think there's some good things in here. It's titled Hardcore Truth About Marriage. Does this pertain to anybody tonight? It's a good thing for young people at least to hear. But really, I think it's good for all of us to hear. All of us to hear. Number one, there's 12 of them, so that'll give you an idea when I'm going to get to the end, okay? There is nothing that threatens the security of a wife than the thought of another woman competing for the attention and affection of her husband. Nothing is more painful, nothing is more disrespecting, nothing is more insulting, nothing is more belittling and degrading. Number two, marriage flourishes when the couple works together as a team, when both husband and wife decide that winning together is more important than keeping score. Good marriages don't just happen. They are a product of hard work. Number three, your children are watching you and forming lasting opinions on love, commitment, and marriage based on what they see in you. Give them hope. Make them look forward to marriage. Number four, husbands. The reason why other women look attractive is because someone is taking good care of them. Grass is always green where it's watered. Instead of drooling over the green grass on the other side of the fence, work on yours and water it regularly. Any man can admire a beautiful woman, but it takes a true gentleman to make a woman admirable and beautiful. Number five, when a husband puts his wife first above everyone and everything except God, it gives his wife the sense of security and honor that every wife hungers for. Thought for sure there'd be some amens there. Number six, a successful marriage doesn't require a big house, a perfect spouse, $1 million, or an expensive car. You can have all of the above and still have a miserable marriage. A successful marriage requires honesty, undying commitment, and selfless love, and Jesus at the center of it all. Number seven, pray for your spouse every day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and at evening. Don't wait until there's a problem. Don't wait until there's an affair. Don't wait until something bad happens. Don't wait until your spouse is tempted. Shield your spouse with prayer and cover your marriage with the fence of prayer. Number eight, the people you surround yourself with have a lot of influence on your marriage. Friends can build or break your marriage. Choose them wisely. Number nine, one spouse cannot build a marriage alone when the other spouse is committed to destroying it. Marriage works when both husband and wife work together as a team to build their marriage. Number 10, don't take your spouse for granted. Don't take advantage of your spouse's meekness and goodness. Don't mistake your spouse's loyalty for desperation. Don't misuse or abuse your spouse's trust. You may end up regretting after losing someone that meant so much to you. Number 11, beware of marital advice from single people. Regardless of how sincere their advice may be, most of it is theoretical and not derived from real life experiences. If you really need godly advice, and you do, seek it from that, and you do was my addition. Seek it from God-fearing, impartial, prayerful, mature couples whose resolve has been tested by time and shaped by trials. Number 12. Dear wife, don't underestimate the power of the tongue on your marriage. The tongue has the power to crush your marriage or build it up. Don't let the devil see your tongue or use your tongue to kill your spouse's image, self-confidence, and aspirations. Let God use your tongue to build up your marriage and bless and praise your spouse. I thought they were good. And you can take it or leave it. But I would suggest it's probably good to take. God helping us. I want to do something a little bit less formal tonight. I mean less formal than preaching. And all the people said. And once again, I'm going to use... thank you, Angela. We're going to do an acrostic. On what? None other than love. You like? I'm so artistic. It's hard for me to pass stick figures and get A's on them, you know. But may have improved a little bit. Love. We talked about it this morning. No greater love than when a man lays down his life for his friends. The greatest of these, of the things of 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of it all was love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am nothing. It's a big aspect of our lives, or it ought to be. As a Christian, we are receiving the recipient of love, great, immeasurable, unspeakable love. As a Christian, then, we as well share love. As people, humanity, just simply put, our makeup is that we want and need, crave, love. It's part of the problem with the world. They crave love in all the wrong places. But when we look at God's love, and us being a recipient of God's love, then it becomes meaningful. Life becomes meaningful. So when we think about love, maybe your wheels are already turning inside your brain, looking for an acrostic and words that start with these letters to give us some meaning to the word love. Now, I have some things here, and some of you that may have been at the first nursing home service this month may be trying to remember what I'm going to say tonight. Can you come up with an acrostic for yourself in your own mind that would describe love with these four letters? I'm going to start off with the letter L. Love. No, that's not my word. But love lifts. Lifted. I'm going to write that word. Lifted. We sang about it tonight, as a matter of fact. It jumped off the page, knowing that I was going to talk about this right off the bat. The first song that Kimberly led us in, Look and Live, speaking about this very same thing that we think about God's love lifting. Jesus said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And he was referring to that very thing of the pole and the serpent in the wilderness back in Moses' day, when there was a great curse and much dying, death. And they had to raise that up and bring it up into the midst of the camp so that anybody that was bitten by that serpent could look and live. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he could draw all men unto himself. And so as he is lifted up, and as we turn to him, then we can find that he lifts us. We also see in Matthew chapter 11 that he asks us, he wants us to bring our burdens to him, our weariness to him. He calls for us, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, come to me and you can find rest. He lifts the load. The songwriter said, love lifted me. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, but love lifted me. What a wonderful thought for that first letter. Lifted. Anybody have another word that you want to add to it before we go on to O? Listen. You want to add anything or explain anything there? What are you thinking about behind that word? Just briefly. You don't have to do... Okay. I got you. Listen. Don't just be talking all the time, you mean? Okay, I'm listening. Anybody want to add another one here? Loyalty. Hope I can spell these words. Okay, let's go on to O. Love. O. That's surely an important one. Back in the Old Testament, there's a story about Saul and Samuel. Saul was a pretty sharp guy, I think. Saul was pretty humble at one point, or at least he was shy. I don't know if we can always derive humility out of somebody's shyness, but he was at least shy. He really wasn't wanting to be lifted up too high. He wasn't wanting to be, you know, broadcasting himself as king. He wasn't on the debate stage saying that he was the best one for the presidential job or anything like that. There was something about him that just wanted to hide among the stuff. But somewhere along the line, Saul had a change of heart. He had a change of mind, a change of demeanor perhaps. And he began to do things that were not right for him to do. He began to take on responsibility that was not his to take on. And Samuel came to him and challenged him in the midst of all that was going on and said, what? To obey is better than sacrifice. Well, there's a word for us, isn't it? Obey. Or obedience. Now, we've got to be careful how we use that in our interpersonal relationships and in the home, huh? But in the spiritual sense, it is definitely an aspect. It is definitely an aspect when we're talking about love and our relationship to God. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us that if we love him, he said, you will keep my commandments. You will obey me. So that's a good thing for us to consider as we think about love in the spiritual context. Maybe your wheels are churning. You've got some words, whether it's scriptural, you know, on the spiritual side or on the physical, or the interpersonal relationships, the marital side. What words begin with the letter O? Observe. You want to give a little bit of explanation there? Notice that comes from a woman. A man has a little bit more difficult time in that observing, huh? But it's a good point, isn't it? Wow. Nothing wrong with her saying that. Not knocking it at all. I just know that I'm not really very observant. Gave her opportunity. Anybody else have an O? We got another one over here and over here somewhere. So, huh? You want me to spell honest with an O? Grammar police. Somebody else had one. Who said that? Do you want to give a little bit? Just okay. Is not my way or the highway. That's pretty good. Anybody else? Ooh, explain that in a little bit. You want to give us a little bit of background behind that word for us? Bad either, is it? Should we go on to V? You're eager looking for V, aren't you? What in the world could we use for that? Within the context of love, either spiritual or, you know, marital, interpersonal, whatever. I would go back to the book of Isaiah for the spiritual side of it. We're talking about our relationship with God. And I would look at Isaiah chapter 6. And we see that Isaiah has this phenomenal, this tremendous vision. And he sees God, and he's never seen this before. He's never recognized the holiness and the majesty of God before. And it causes him to recognize his sinfulness, or at least his humanity. I struggle in that, thinking that Isaiah was a sinner here, an out-and-out sinner. And I believe that what he's seeing is that in his humanity, he's so far from the holiness of God. Seeing the sinfulness all that's around him, and maybe he's even seeing the sinfulness of his heart, even though he was trying. He was a prophet of God. And then we find that the, you know, the coals was taken off the altar and placed on his lips, and there was that cleansing that was involved there, and all that was taking place and said about all of those circumstances. But then we come to this next section of the scripture. And he hears a voice. And I don't find it anywhere in that passage where God is saying, "Isaiah, I'm speaking to you." It's just simply that Isaiah hears a voice. No, voice isn't the word. But that voice speaks something, and Isaiah hears it, and it causes something in his heart to respond. It was this: "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Volunteer. Did you get that? Whoa, grammar police. Well, now I'm getting all messed up. You got me shook up. That's right. Thank you. doing, folks? Is it?
It's not looking right now.
See, that's, Alan, it's incredible that you got sixth place. When you get in front of people and start spelling stuff, that's why Lydia said she doesn't want to do it. Gets nervous up here, huh? Huh? Help me out, Adam. I mean, Alan. Oh, my goodness. Volunteer. Here am I, send me. It's not always a direct call from God saying, calling your name, saying, I want you to do this. It's simply, well, we could go back up here to observe and use that one in this category as well, that we observe and we see possibilities and we see needs and we volunteer. Here am I, Lord, send me. If we love God, surely it would make it easier for us to volunteer. No, I'm not saying that all of you should volunteer to preach next Sunday. I mean, if somebody wanted to, I'd probably make arrangements for that. But there's something for us. Again, God wasn't saying specifically to Isaiah, there's a specific need here. It was, who will do this? Who will go and who will? And Isaiah said, here am I. That should be our cry as well, as we love God, that we should volunteer. Are there other V's that come to your mind in this acrostic of love? Value. You want to give us a little bit of background on that one? Some of that may have been in what I read a little bit ago. Maybe not that exact thing, but that thought, value. Anyone else? Available. Martin County at its best. Yeah, there could be a tie there, can't there? I mean, a tying together. Victorious, you want to give us a little background where you come from with that word? True love. True love is victorious. You know, we live, let's just look at it on the marital side. We live in an age where, you know, 25-year anniversaries are not common. 50 years. Anybody here married 50 years? We got a couple here. Boy, what an example to that part of the letter or the word. The V, the victorious. You see these two couples. Are there more than just two that have been married more than 50 years? Guess not. That's all entered. It's easy for us to look at these couples and say, you know, what problems have they had? But it's very, very likely that their problems have been such that we haven't been able to see, but have been just as real as anybody else's problems. But because of God's grace, because of God's love, victory. Wow, I like that one. Because I just, you know, when you think about these that have already walked this way, some that are just newlyweds and some that are hoping to be newlyweds, and and all of that, that gives hope. Because there's not a whole lot of hope around us, but here we have hope right here among us. You ready to move on to E? Vision. You want to give me a little background with that one? Without a vision, people perish, and that goes for pretty much any aspect, doesn't it? Oh. Is that right, Alan? You haven't studied that word, huh? Okay, vigilant. That's good. Well, I didn't think we'd get that many on the letter V. Amazing what you can do when you start the wheels a-turning. How about the letter E? What about the letter E, love? Paul the Apostle is one of our heroes. I guess we could call him a hero because of the way he lived. We might even call him a hero because of all the things that he wrote that found their way by God's anointing and God's inspiration into what we know as the Word of God. But then when we look and see him in his everyday life, prior to Christianity or before he met Christ and afterwards. See, Paul the Apostle, Saul of Tarsus, was no slouch. He was very accomplished. He was an example of the Pharisees. He was the icon. He had many things going for him. He had all kinds of ability, it would seem, intelligence, knew how to get things done, apparently knew how to influence people, bring them in. And yet at one point we find him saying that in the midst of all of the things that I could brag about, in the midst of everything that I could lift myself up and say that I am such and such as a great person, he said all of it means nothing. He said, I glory in nothing but the cross. And so as I think about the letter E, I think of this word, embrace. And that is embrace the cross. I think Steve Green used to sing a song that was titled that years ago, Embrace the Cross. Because there's nothing else worth glorying in but embracing the cross. It's that cross that is a stumbling block to many, and yet it is the point of our salvation, the place the blood of Christ was shed on the cross. Embrace the cross. But I also find another word that as we embrace the cross, that would indicate that we are wholly given over to the love of God, and we are wholly given over to the gospel message. Another word would come out to me that God wants us to do, and that is to encourage others. Encourage others. Comfort one another with these words, he says in 1 Thessalonians. Comfort, give encouragement, give help to other people around as an aspect of love. As we love God and love one another. What's your word that begins with E? Hopefully it begins with E. Somebody have one? Example. Anyone else? And rich.
Give me a little bit of a background with that one.
Woo.
Energy. Well, let's just bring that one over here, huh? Should be as though it wasn't. I'm just checking.
Is there two S in that or one? Do I have to write that one, Adam? You got it. You want to give us a little background with it? Okay. Enthusiasm. You got that one too. Run out of space. Is that a good enough excuse? I heard that laugh, Karen. Anything else? Enjoying. Yeah, enjoyable. Yep. You almost got me. Okay. Good enough. Love. It's amazing what we can come up with when we turn it into an acrostic to begin the wheels turning in our brain, thinking about what it represents and what it means. Amen. All right. Thank you for your participation tonight. It's been good. I've enjoyed it. Trust you've had a good Valentine's Day. Enjoyed God's love especially. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Everyone be safe going home.